Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity. Peculiarity. Irregularity. Inconsistency. Incongruity. A rarity.
Hello and welcome to this special edition of the Anomaly Podcast. I'm Jen, and today I'm interviewing my friend Rick Moyer, who has a new CD out called Stargazer, and he has a project he's working on, which is airing on his podcast, Take Him With You, called A Christmas Caroled. Say hi, Rick.
Hi, Rick. I mean, hi, Jen. Sorry, can't help it. You know, sometimes you just got to be a little goofy. Of course, okay. I'm always goofy. You know, what's up with that?
It wouldn't be fun without a goofy Rick.
Thank you for having me on the show today. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, I just figured instead of like a traditional interview where I'd have a bunch of boring questions written down and you would just kind of like give me your best shot at answering them, we would treat this more of a like a conversation. And
that
so
sounds great to me. I mean, it would be kind of fun though if you went, Rick, when were you born? What town did you grow up in? Okay, sorry.
I guess we'll just start with, which do you want to start with? You want to start with A Christmas Caroled, and then we'll talk about Stargazer and, oh, also your Trekmas CD.
Ah, sure. We can do it however you want to do it. I'm game for whatever. I'm ready.
Okay, well, if this isn't your first time listening to Anomaly, you've probably heard us talking about Rick, and we even play his email transition on our podcast.
Printing out emails. That one, right?
Yes.
Here comes an email being printed out.
Yeah, that was
y'all come back to here.
That was an Angela original that I asked Rick to put music to, and he came up with that, and it was awesome. I love embarrassing her with it.
So. She's famous now.
Is she?
She'll be writing for Garth Brooks soon, I'm telling you.
Yeah, well, she wrote another one for the miniskirt cast we did on Sci-Fi Channel's Alice miniseries.
Excellent.
Yeah, about the actor who played the Hatter. She is apparently in love with that guy, so she sang.
She wears too much eyeliner. Give me a break.
That's okay, what she loves about him. I don't know what it is.
Jim's going to start wearing eyeliner.
He volunteered to, actually.
Wow, that's amazing.
So, okay, tell us about Stargazer.
Stargazer is a CD that I put together. Actually, it's a collection of 13 songs designed to go outside, put your headphones on, and look up at the stars and just kind of get lost in the whole experience of looking at the stars. I'm a real fan of electronic music. Really liked Pink Floyd, Kraftwerk, Tomita, several of these different bands that would use sound effects and synthesizers and just atmospheric type of music. Alan Parsons Project, ELO, really dug those bands as I was growing up and always wanted to be able to create something to just kind of sweep people away into a different world. And that's what I did with Stargazer. And so I took several songs and I put some audio stuff in there from NASA and from some telemetry and from Russia and different places like that that had space programs, and I combined it with music and just kind of made a feast for the ears, and it was a lot of fun. I had a great time.
And it's fun to listen to also, and I don't think you have to listen while you're watching the stars because it's just very awesome atmospheric music they can put on just to relax and unwind at home.
Yeah, Dave. I got a lot of emails from people because, see, it got released in October, which is not the greatest time to watch stars. Unless you have a real clear sky and everything. But, you know, for us, we haven't even seen the actual sky for days. So, I mean, we get clouds, a lot of clouds. But summertime will be a great time for this. But you're right. A lot of people have emailed me and said they'll listen to it in their car while they're driving. They'll put it on at dinner time or when they're going to bed or they'll read to it because it's not distracting. It doesn't have a lot of talking in it. It's just real mellow, relaxing. I mean, some of it's kind of funky and it's got a cool beat to it, but other parts are really eerie and mysterious. I'm coming up on one of the Take Him With You programs. I play a comment from our friend Joe from Canada, and he was listening to it and he equated it to like a movie soundtrack. Mm-hmm. And he was driving by the tarmac at the airport and he was listening to the song Rings, and as he was listening, he he just got this eerie feeling like something was going to happen. You know, the music was rising in his stereo. I thought that was cool.
That's one of my favorite ones. I like that. We should play it now.
Okay. Sure, if you want to, go ahead.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite ones. I like the way it sounds. It does sound like a movie soundtrack. But you have a couple of others that you've incorporated, like communications between astronauts and
right, like
ground
launch
control.
Launch to the Moon was it's actually footage from now you have to test my, I have to remember which flight it was, but anyway, it's an actual Saturn rocket blasting off and communication with the tower and everything. And I put that right in there and then designed music to go over the top of that. And other places like Radio Emissions is actually got some really cool footage. I guess you don't call audio footage. You call it, I don't know what you call it, audience? I don't know. But anyway, I took some telemetry sounds and some different things that I found and I just incorporated them in and it just sounds really cool. There's all sorts of sounds out there on the internet. I had to find ones that weren't copyrighted, which is, you know, that was fun, but I did find them and put them in there. It just adds a different ambience to it. Mm-hmm. And I don't play them constantly throughout the whole song because that would make it annoying.
Yeah.
So I just try to put it in there and have it enhance the effect. And it's very stereo. If you listen to the Stargazer album, if you have headphones, it's the best way to listen to it because mm-hmm. it's designed for that. A lot of right to left pans and things that fly across, and it's really cool. A lot of stereo sounds in this one.
Yeah. It makes you feel like you're traveling somewhere, yeah. Going on some type of crazy Star Trek.
Star Trek. You're all some type of astronauts on a crazy Star Trek.
Exactly.
Well, what I love...
Go ahead. You go ahead.
No, you go ahead. No, okay. What I designed it like was, like, you know when you like put your quarter, well, this is dating me. In video games, when you would put your quarter in or you start your Xbox up and it's kind of got this mono sound to it at first and then all of a sudden it just hits full stereo mm-hmm. and then start playing the game with the music or whatever. That's what the music I wanted it to sound like. So when you pushed play on the track, it would just go boom and you'd be like instantly floating through something and have that kind of sound going on. So that's how it's designed to be, very, very encompassing and atmospheric.
And where can people find Stargazer?
Well, there's a couple of different places you can get it. You can get, if you want the actual physical CD, I'm almost out of them already. I had about 100 made. And then, of course, I've been selling them here in the local area. Most of the people are downloading it on iTunes or CD Baby. There's a place called cdbaby.com, just like it sounds. And you just type in Rick Moyer or Stargazer, and it'll find the CD there. You can order the CD. A little more expensive to order the CD because it costs more to make them. But you can also download it MP3 form there, as well as iTunes. You can just go to iTunes and type in Rick Moyer, and you'll get two things that pop up. I guess there's no other Rick Moyers out there that do music, I guess, on iTunes. But you'll see a little picture of the moon, and the thing says Stargazer, and then you also see the Taken With You podcast. You click on the Stargazer thing, and it'll take you right to the page, and you can download, you know, whatever song you want, or you can download the whole album. I recommend the album because there's a progression in the way that the songs go. So, I mean, that's how I recommend getting the whole album. But some people have just downloaded one or two, three, four songs or whatever, because it rates them, you know, which one's the most popular. Right now, Constellations is the most popular song that has been downloaded.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Didn't know you can see that yet. I know you're waiting for...
I have no idea how much money I've made.
Yeah.
iTunes, and they're wonderful. You would think that iTunes, and not, I'm not complaining, I'm just saying that, because it's really cool to get my music out to the whole mm-hmm. world, you know. I mean, that's awesome to be able to do that. But they don't report what you've earned for 6 weeks. And so, supposedly on the 15th of December, I'll get a report. So we'll see how many people have downloaded it. It'll be fun.
It's kind of an interesting process, because you made the CD, you went through the process of creating it, and then you found someone to... a company to act as your go-between to sell your music. Tell people a little bit how that works.
It's a lot more involved than most people realize. You know, you as an artist, I like to just create the music and be done with it. But there's a business side to it that is really a lot more involved than I thought. So what you have to do as an artist, first off, you have to create your music. Like you were saying, I worked on it for months, you know. put it down for a while, pick it up back again. You know, I'd work on one song for a couple of weeks, and then just and all of a sudden I'd get one song in a day. It really was, well, you know, the creative process. Sometimes you got it, sometimes you don't. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that part of it was really fun. But then in order to get your music out to people all around the world without being signed to a record company as an independent, you have to have certain things. You kind of have to have your ducks in a row. And so what I found is I did a little research. I have a friend here in the local area that put out a CD and has been doing lots of concerts and stuff. And she went through this company called CD Baby. And so I did a little research on them, and I read about them in a couple of other places. And they are, their basic design is to have an artist give them their music and then act as the middleman and be able to sell them. For they take a certain cut of the or a percentage of what you sell. You know, and then as a result of that, they will put your music, they will distribute your music to digital outlets. Not only will they sell your CD, you send them a certain quantity of CDs for their warehouse, and people can, they'll ship them and do all that stuff. But they, as well, they will distribute them to Amazon and iTunes and Rhapsody and all these other places. But that cost, you know, that doesn't really cost a huge amount. But in order to do that, you have to download all your music that you have on the CD. You have to have your artwork ready. You have to have, you know, all your copyrights in place. And then you give it to them. They then take it and run it through some type of a filter. And they have to change the format for different places that do download. Like iTunes, you notice that if you download something off iTunes, you get an MP4,
mm-hmm.
not an MP3. And they do that for copyright protection things so that you have to kind of skirt around that in order to be able to share that music with your friends, if that makes sense. So they put it into an MP4 format that works great in iTunes. But originally it was an MP3 that I sent them. So each one of the tracks gets an actual number assigned to it, a digital number. And then they track that. It's embedded in the song or the file. And so wherever that gets played or wherever it gets downloaded and stuff, then I get credit for that particular download. Does that make sense?
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So iTunes, you know, they do 99 cents a song. And out of that, I think I see like 60 some cents because the middleman takes a cut and iTunes takes a cut. And then I see like 60 cents of it. And that's actually pretty good. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. if I sell 100,000, I make a pretty good living.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know. In my case, it's, you know, it kind of barely paid for the time that I put in to, you know, make the music. But that's okay. You know, you got to get started somewhere, and it's fun to get it out there. And I've got, you know, lots of people really are enjoying it. And thanks to you, like, you know, playing my music behind some of the productions you've done, and Rico from Treks and Sci-Fi playing some of my music. People have heard some of my stuff, and so now they go, "Oh, I'd like to get one of his albums." And
mm-hmm.
that's very helpful. But that's how it works. You know, you basically sign a contract with the middleman, which was CD Baby in my case. And I found out that I tried to submit my music to iTunes all by myself, and they wouldn't allow me to do it. They just ignore you, because if you don't have somebody that knows what they're doing, which I didn't. They just won't take anybody. So you kind of have to either be an artist with a label, because then the label acts as the middleman, or you have to do something as an independent artist, which I did with CD Baby, and then they take care of all that. Now, from now on, I have a portfolio and all that jazz and a profile and all that stuff on CD Baby. Now, all I have to do, if I do a project, all I have to do is submit it to them, go through getting a little barcode, because that's how they sell it at retail stores and stuff. They put it, slap that on the back of the CD. I don't even have to have a physical CD anymore. I can just do a whole project, download it to CD Baby, and they will distribute it for me for a certain fee. And that's, you know, that's pretty cool for an independent artist to be able to get all around the world for, you know, less than $100.
Yeah, that is awesome. And what's cool is that not that long ago, we didn't have that option.
No, we didn't.
It's awesome that, you know, that technology and your interest, you know, in these kind of the art, not only the music aspect, but your geeky nature would allow you to, you know, do the research necessary and find the technology, use the technology, and you know, it's just something that it's liberating, and you
it's
know,
very freeing.
It's freeing because mm-hmm. you're not worried about, you know, having to be discovered or get an agent or any of that. You're just...
Well, and quite frankly, it costs way less than what it used to. You know, I remember talking to you way back and you said, you really should get your stuff out on iTunes or do something, you know, and you gave me a few, I think you gave me CD Baby's link and a couple others. And I didn't, at the time, quite honestly, I was too nervous. I was scared to do it because I thought it was going to cost a lot of money. I didn't want to do all the research, you know. And I think sometimes as independent artists and folks listening right now, if you're creative and you create, you know, things like audio or video or whatever, don't be afraid of, I mean, what does it hurt to research, you know? What does it hurt to look into how much it costs to do something? I was pleasantly surprised when I looked into it and went, oh, well, this doesn't, it's tedious, but it's not impossible. And it's way less expensive than I thought. And why not? You know, mm-hmm. I mean, people can put their audio dramas on. I mean, the big stickler with it is you have to be careful not to use any copyrighted material in your own stuff unless you have permission.
Right.
And that's the whole thing. They are really tight on that. Everybody in the industry is very tight on saying, now make sure, you know, they make you sign a contract that if you violate that, they take your music off, you can get prosecuted, all this stuff. Because, you know, there's a big, as you know, being a graphic artist and all the different stuff that you do, it's so easy to rip people's stuff off.
Yep.
And it's not fun. That's not fun. That's the worst feeling in the world when you're listening to something and you go, wait a minute, that's my song. What are they doing with my song? They didn't, you know. Well, now, you know, I have to be a lot more careful. Hopefully they download it and they're using it with permission, but you never know.
Mm-hmm.
And so they put a lot of tight reins on that. And, you know, I never used to appreciate that till now. Now that I'm actually making a living doing this, I appreciate that more. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And you kind of make me feel bad a little bit because...
Why?
We are always using clips from television shows. And
well, you know what? You can do that. There's a certain amount that you can use. You just can't play like the whole thing.
Yeah. I guess so, in a review purposes, I guess, you can probably do that.
I mean, well, see, what they're trying to do is stop people from making money off of your stuff. So, like, if you put out, well, let's say I put out my song Rings, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody decides, well, I'm going to use that for the theme song for my whatever. Now, I'm very flattered by that, and I probably would be fine with that. But if they started selling that song Rings, I wouldn't be very happy about that because that's my song.
Right.
And so that's what they're trying to avoid. They're trying to avoid people, you know, taking the music and selling it and making a profit off of it. You're always going to have people that share music back and forth. And, you know, that's just part of how it goes. And I'm just flattered that people like my stuff. I just, you know, I try to tell everybody in interviews and on my website and everything else, hey, this is how I make my living. I'm not like a big artist that makes millions of dollars off their records. You know, I make 60 cents off a song. You know, so if you download it, pay for it, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're never going to stop people from, you know, somebody said the other day, aren't you think somebody's going to put your stuff on the free, what do they call that? The one that nobody ever talks about because they're afraid of getting in trouble where they download it off this one certain site. I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, it's a music sharing site.
Yeah. Anyway.
They got in big trouble.
Yeah, it will remain nameless, but somebody said, do you think your CD will be on there? I said, I have no idea.
What I think eventually record companies are going to have to realize is that you're getting it out there to other people who are getting a taste. They may not have the entire album, but the next time they see it somewhere and it's for sale, they'll buy it, you know?
That's right.
So that's just something I always kind of think about it, you know, whenever I do play a track of somebody's music, I do try to either ask permission or tell people where I got it, you know, who it is, where they can buy it and all of that. That way they've heard it, they liked it, they bought it. Like Tartanic, the bagpipe band. Meds over in England heard it, loved it, bought their album. Bought
there you
both
go.
Of them. So
yeah,
so it works sometimes. It's all about networking, and that's why
it really is.
That's why I wanted to interview you, because I want to help you promote your stuff. And the more podcasts you can get on, the more people you can get to play your music, the more people will hear about you. So
that's right. Well, you know, I did a project. You know, our good friend Kenny from California is the co-host of Knights of the Guild podcast.
Mm-hmm.
He actually works behind the scenes with the Guild web series. And he did a behind the scenes feature, and this was so fun. I got to see, and this is why, you know, they have you sign all these forms and say, you know, if we use your stuff, then, you know, you don't have any rights to it and all that jazz, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually agreed to that and did a song for one of the behind the scenes features that they did, and it actually got my name in the credits.
On
MSN, you know, that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And it was fun to do that. And I did that absolutely free of charge and happily did that because, again, like you say, when you're starting out like this, I mean, it'd be one thing if I had, you know, a huge catalog of music and have been doing it for years, but I haven't and I don't. And so you're right. If you can get discovered or at least you get a fan base of people that really enjoy your stuff, it's good to get out there. So, you know, my hopes are that people will pick up some of my stuff because I do all sorts of types of music, not just instrumental stuff, but I do rock stuff and heavy metal and I do instrumental things that aren't spacey. And I do like, you'll hear some of it on the Christmas Carol drama, but I'll do orchestration and everything else. And it never hurts to get your name out there. Mm-hmm. And get it going like that. And then what the fun part is when you do a project like I've done with Stargazer, then hopefully, like you say, people who have heard your stuff or heard of you will say, I want to get that project because I really like the other stuff that he did on the Guild, or I like the stuff that he did on that boldly Star Trek, you know, drama. Mm-hmm. I want some of his stuff because it sounds really cool. And so I actually have a whole page of free music people can download, like, gosh, there's got to be 50, 60 songs on there that they could have. They could have a whole iPod filled with me. Isn't that exciting? But I do that on purpose. I want that together. And then I do special projects that will actually make some money and pay our bills. But for the most part, you know, if you can get your name out there, you get a fan base, and then people will come back and listen to your stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a pretty good segue for your Trekmas album, which is free, that you could find on Rick's free page.
Yeah, you can go to christrocks.com/parody, P-A-R-O-D-Y. Everybody together, P-A-R-O-D-Y. Anyway, you go to christrocks.com/parody, and then I've got all my like parody songs that I do for Treks and Sci-Fi, the Star Trek, you know, parody songs, some original songs, a bunch of instrumentals, and, of course, a link to the Merry Trekmas CD. I just put out two brand-new Trekmas updated ones, you know. I figured I'd do a couple of updated ones since I did a whole album last year. I had to make a couple more for this year, and I'll be putting that on the page as well. A lot of fun, and a lot of people listen to that. People love the Trekmas CD. It's so hilarious, and of course, because of copyright situations, I could not sell that.
Right.
So I put a little donation on there. People want to help me with the practical part of it. But, you know, I'm not trying to get rich off a Trek. I would get in trouble for that. So, unless I had a signed contract with Paramount or CBS or whoever owns it. But anyway, a lot of fun. And I think people really enjoyed it. The newest one I did to the song Sleigh Ride. And it's called Updated Space Saga. And, you know, it doesn't sound like it rhymes with it. But trust me, it works. And it's all about the new movie. And JJ taking over the franchise, and it's funny. So everybody will enjoy that. If you like the Trekmas, you know, CD, there's all sorts of stuff like on the actual Trekmas CD. There's you can download the artwork, the CD label, the making of the Merry Trekmas, all sorts of stuff on the page. It's all free, and it's really funny. Some of the good ones on there are like Klaxon Bells instead of Jingle Bells, and there's Benjamin the spaceman or something like that instead of Frosty the Snowman.
Have yourself a merry little critter or furry little critter.
Have yourself a hairy little creature.
That's right. Yeah, that's one of my favorite ones.
Instead of White Christmas, we have Trek Christmas. And
what's the one with the Klingons?
That one is We Wharf You a Merry Christmas. And a Kapla New Year. If you listen very carefully in that, it's so funny. My son Nathan was in the background as well as Andrew and others that were playing the Klingons. If you hear, they're having this conversation, and I can't remember what Nathan says, but something about the scar on his butt. And it's just funny. If you listen really carefully, you can hear, oh, there's a scar on his butt, like what Klingons would talk about, you know. It's so funny. And, you know, anyway, lots of people really enjoy the Jean-Luc the Baldhead Captain had a very shiny head. Anyway, they're fun. Away Team with Phaser instead of Away in the Manger. Gosh, you name it, it's on there, and it's very fun. So I think Here Comes Enterprise is one of my favorites. Here Comes Enterprise, right through the Milky Way. Sulu and Kirk. Yeah. Anyway.
Keep going.
Oh, yeah. I try to mention, you know, I'll Be Home on Voyager is good. With Janeway doing her speech about getting home. That's a fun one. I'll be home on Voyager. Just you wait and see. Fun.
Yeah, those are awesome.
Yeah, a holiday classic now, even though it's only a year old. So that people can download that for free. They should go over and do it right now and enjoy the Christmas season.
And speaking of the Christmas season, you have a new audio drama series out right now. You've done three parts now?
Three parts of A Christmas Carol, The Scrooge Diaries is what I'm doing. See, if people listen to the podcast, they get extra stuff. Mm-hmm. What I did is I took Charles Dickens' classic, A Christmas Carol. And like 20 years ago or more, I wrote an adaptation to it. Then over the years, as I did different things, I rewrote it a few times, added music to it, songs and stuff, made it a musical. And then I actually had a cast of 60 on the last time I did it at a church. I actually put on the production. And, you know, we did the whole thing with Marley and the smoke and the fog and the, you know, cool special effects and Cratchit and Scrooge. And, you know, it was really a lot of fun. And I thought, wouldn't it be fun this year if I took that and got actors that could actually do English accents, because it's hard to do sometimes. And I found actors from England. You're in it. It's fun, from Texas. Exciting. there's other people involved in it, and put together all these different voices from all around the world, orchestrated it with my synthesizer and all the cool instruments on that, made, you know, all sorts of cool music for it, and then actually, you know, did the songs and everything, and I put it all together with sound effects, and I've been releasing it once a week up until Christmas on my podcast, Taking With You. And the way I've done it is, if you listen to the podcast, you actually get more of the drama than if you actually download the whole drama. I'm going to put the whole thing out on the 21st of December. People will be able to download it for free and then burn CDs and take it to their family and their friends and just make the holiday really cool and special. That's my hope, is all that will work out. I've got most of it. Most of it's all mastered and done. Of course, you know, there's always little tweaks that the artist does right towards the end to make sure it all sounds perfect. But what I've done is I've put Scrooge in a jail cell serving time for something that you have to listen to the drama to find out what he's done. And he is writing his diary. And so when I'm talking on my podcast like normal, you know, hear what's going on around my house and talk, do a, you know, words of wisdom. We talk about some different stuff. And then I'll go, okay, well, let's get into part whatever of the Scrooge Diaries. And then, of course, music starts up, and then Scrooge comes on and he begins to talk like this, you know. Thank you for visiting me today. I'm lonely in this prison cell. All I get is bread and water, or whatever. And he talks, and he talks about how he's writing his life story in a diary. And then what we do is we flash back to that particular part that he's writing that day. And we go back and we actually hear the Christmas Carol, the audio drama, like a flashback, like he's in Lost. Of course, we don't have he doesn't go, oh, thank you, jailer. You know, that sounded like I was hawking a loogie. Sorry. What it was meant to sound was like that the cool swishing sound in Lost. You know, that doesn't happen. But that's kind of like what it is. And so you actually get to hear Scrooge talk about, you know, what the consequences for the way he lived his life on the Taking With You podcast. It's kind of cool. And that goes all the way up to the 20th of December. And then on the 21st, I'm releasing the entire drama without the visits to prison. And it should be really, really fun. So,
hi, this is Rick Moyer from the Take Him With You podcast. And I wanted to invite you to join me for A Christmas Carol, a full-length audio musical drama starring lots of people that you probably know but have never heard them act. It's going to be so much fun. Head on over to Take Him With You. Here's what you can expect from the drama.
Join me on a journey of a change to life, won't you? Join me for A Christmas Carol.
Come on, Tony Tim, we must get home.
But I can't keep up, Sarah.
help me.
Money's not the only thing in life. Merry Christmas, Mr. Scrooge, just the same. Merry Christmas, Mr. Scrooge, just the same.
Server, is it okay if I take the day off? Around 3 p.m. It is Christmas Eve.
Nonsense, Cratchit. I pay you to work, not to enjoy frivolous holidays like Christmas. The answer is no. Get back to work.
But, sir, surely Christmas holds some meaning to you.
Home at last. Time to get some peace and quiet from that Christmas nonsense. What was that? Show yourself. Money, 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 money. How I love to count my money. Money, 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 money. You know, it really isn't funny.
You are insane, Ebenezer. Your sin cries out from your every breath. You will get no rest from me, Mr. Scrooge. Because of you, I didn't get another chance to turn away from him. Oh!
Even if it did, Mr. Scrooge, and it doesn't, I would imagine you would be too miserly to pay for it. You will be changed tonight, Ebenezer. But before that occurs, you will be met by two more angels in your life. And one I wish you didn't have to know.
Only one problem, Bob. The poor this year's horse. Why did you ever take that job with Mr. Scrooge?
It was all that was available, you know that.
Yes, I know. But he seems so harsh, and he pays you so little. You're worth more than that.
What does that mean? I pay him a reasonable wage.
And I'm Captain Kirk.
Captain who?
Oh, never mind.
No. Humbug, you don't exist.
Oh, that's one of my favorites.
I don't exist.
But you're here, Ebenezer, and I am very real.
Well, as you can tell, it's quite a production with a lot of different people lending their voice talents and acting skills. We tell a timeless message all about Christmas, and I'd love it if you would join me for A Christmas Carol. It'll be fully released on the 21st of December 2009, and you can download it for free. But I am releasing each part in four, each and every Take Him With You podcast coming right up to Christmas. So if you'd like to hear a little bit of what happened afterwards, you can hear Scrooge introduce each part of it as a flashback. Kind of fun. So join me at takehimwithyou.com for A Christmas Carol. Merry Christmas!
Well, you did a great job. I was very impressed. You played a couple of different parts in the show, and the great part is people did not recognize your voice as – they recognized your voice as the angel of Christmas past, but they didn't – and you use an English accent, but they did not recognize your voice as Martha Cratchit when you did the Cockney accent. They didn't recognize that was you, which is great. That's fantastic when you can do a voice and nobody knows who you are.
Well, I just remember Tim on telling me on Twitter that my my Cockney accent was worse than what's his name from Mary Poppins?
Dick Van Dyke.
Dick Van Dyke.
Joppins, Joppins.
Oh, sorry. Like, well, you have Audrey Hepburn and My Fair Lady to thank for that, because that's right. How I did my
The Rhine in Spain grows mainly on the plain. Well, you did a wonderful job, and I wanted to thank you also for hooking me up with a great actress that did the voice of Christmas Present. Fantastic.
Sadie
Nate Silas, yeah.
Yeah, she's a listener of our podcast. I'm trying to get her to listen to your podcast. So.
Oh, I think she would really enjoy it. She did a wonderful job, knocked it out of the park. I was very, very happy. And, of course, I've got some of the friends of your podcast as well, like Meds is on there as Bob Cratchit. And folks have heard him call in and make comments on your program. Who else is on there?
Angela.
Angela does a great job. You know, I actually had her be the last angel, which people are going to have to a bit of her on the sample. But she did a great job, and I changed her voice and did a bunch of goofy things to it to make it very scary. And she is so funny. There were some lines that they didn't come across the greatest, and I actually, she doesn't know this, but I actually enhanced them by talking over the top of it and then changing my voice to fit hers. So there's a couple of lines that you go, ooh, that was kind of wicked sounding. It's actually me, so there you go. But anyway, she did a wonderful job as well, and I'm so grateful for all the different people that did voices. Has Feathers ever made a comment on your show? I think he has. Mike from England.
Uh huh.
He does the part of the lamplighter, Felix Cromwell, and then his daughter did a fantastic job. Ruth is her name. Did a great job as Sarah Cratchit, and she's just got such the sweetest little voice. A tiny tin. You know, I can't even do her voice. She does such a wonderful – it's a real accent. That's why. You know, she does a great – and then his son Sam also did one. Father, who gave us the Christmas goose? I love it. Goose. It's a Christmas goose. Yeah, it was great. And then, you know, what's so funny is I was going to have Trekkie Geek plays Tim from England plays the ghost of Jacob Marley, and I was going to have – he did a wonderful job. You know, he's just so dramatic and so fun. You ought to hear the behind-the-scenes part of all these folks that sent in their lines to me on MP3. Funny, funny, funny. When they're trying to do the different parts, they do it – you know, when you do an audio drama, I'm not sure if everybody knows this, but you have the actors – what I did – Can I explain the process?
Sure.
What I did is I told everybody, okay, would you like to be in the drama? When they said yes, and I knew that they could, you know, act, I didn't ask if they couldn't. But if I knew they could act, I asked. And then what I did is I sat down in front of my recording software, and I played a little Christmas music, you know, and then I just kind of, as the director said, here's what I'm looking for. And I did that for each individual part, and then I sent them the MP3, and they listened to it. What the actor does then, the voice actor, when they get their script and they get the director's commentary on what they want, then they sit down with their recording software and their microphone and everything, and then they do 2 to 3 different takes of the same line. So, you know, if your line is, Cratchit, get that, will you? You know, it could be, Cratchit, get that, will you? Or, Cratchit, get that, will you? Or Cratchit, get that, will you? You know, there you could do it so many different ways. And so they do. They do it two or three different ways. And then they just keep the tape – or the tape. There's no tape. They keep the computer rolling, and they do all their lines in a row without any interaction. What was funny was people – the way they do it, like Trekkie Geek Tim from England, he would read his line, and then he'd say, and then Scrooge says – well, I know what Scrooge says, but he says Scrooge's line too. And then he would do his line. It was so funny. I laughed so hard. Or the people that would be doing their line, like Silas would be doing her line, and then she'd say, stop it, stop it. And I'm like, what? And there were people talking behind her. She could hear them, but I couldn't hear them. Like, be quiet. And I'm like, what? That's not in the script. What are you talking about? Or if people listen very carefully, and I didn't ever tell you this. I didn't have time to have you re-record. You did a line that is supposed to be what's the line? I had to cut part of your phrase out because it wasn't the right line.
And, oh, and no.
It's only one little word, but boy, was that a challenge. Oh, yeah. You were supposed to say, you know better than that. And you said, you know me better than that.
Oh, so
I
no.
I had to take the word me out of it. And if you listen very carefully, you can tell. But if you didn't know that, you wouldn't know.
I didn't notice at all.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah.
And it's just really, really fun. So you get all these lines in, and then what you have to do is go through them and find the take that you, as a director, you have to go through and find the lines that you think would work the best. And if there's lines that don't work at all, you have to contact the actor and have them re-record that particular line, which is always interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's little tricks in the audio drama industry. Like everybody's mic is a little bit different. So having them sound like they're in the same room is sometimes difficult. For instance, if you listen to the audio drama, you're going to hear Bob Cratchit. Now, he's at his house, and he's also at the firm of Scrooge and Marley. And if you notice, his microphone had a little bit more – he was in a room that was a little more echoey than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you listen, whenever Meds is doing Bob Cratchit, there's some type of sound effect or music going on in the background to hide mm-hmm. the fact that his microphone sounds just a little bit different than everybody else's. And so that's I had to actually design the music around him to make it not stand out like he was, you know, that it sounded different. Because when he was doing his lines with you, you had a very clean, quiet recording, and his had a little echoey, and sometimes you could actually hear cars in the background.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I had to really chop his right down to the actual breath that he was taking, mm-hmm. and then enhance that with a soundtrack behind it. Like in the Cratchit song, you'll listen, and you'll go, what's that sound? It's a crackling fire, and it's actually a looping of a crackling fire going on, dishes being, you know, put away, kids laughing and playing in the background, and then I bring an orchestration behind that. And then it just disappears, and it sounds just like he's sitting in the same room with you.
Yeah, that's a really good technique, and I've used that myself because it is hard, especially when you're trying to get a bunch of people to play parts. You can't dictate, you know, who,
no.
you know, which microphones are being used and which aren't. And so, yeah, that and the other thing is you could, if you have the software ability, you could grab a little section of the background noise and take it out.
Yeah.
But you can't do too much because then it makes the voice sound mechanical. Yeah. So it's
well, you know what I ended up doing in part of it is I actually found some of the background noise and looped it and put it in behind mm-hmm. the scene so that it sounded like they were on stage or it just gave it a little more ambience and mm-hmm. it didn't make it sound bad. I mean, I would have had him re-recorded if it was bad, but I didn't because it wasn't bad. But like Silas did all of her lines the first time on a microphone that sucked. And she admitted it. She said, I don't know if this is going to be good quality or not. She did it flawless. I mean, it was beautiful sounding, and I would have loved to have kept that track. But I emailed her. She goes, and if you want me to, I can go and do this at a different place with a better microphone. And I sheepishly wrote back, could you please? And she did. And the second time, it was even better and very quiet and sounds mm-hmm. very nice. And then, of course, you know, with the angels and different things, I tweaked with the voice to make it eerie and stereo. And when you're listening to the audio drama, A Christmas Carol, it's very a lot of ambience and really sucks you into the whole story. So with sounds, very stereo again. In fact, throughout the thing, like Scrooge is actually panned 26 to the left. Let me see. I think Cratchit is 23 to the right. And this is all in technical terms as far as which way you pan them, right or left, on your stereo palette. Like sometimes Tiny Tim will talk and he'll be like 17 to the left. And the idea of that is while you're listening to it, it sounds like you would be sitting in a room. Sometimes somebody over on the left-hand side would just come a little bit to the left of you. You would hear that naturally. And then somebody would be sitting to the right of you. So I tried to keep the characters as they were moving in the play, and most people don't even realize that it's so subtle. But as a director and as an audio engineer, I want to make sure that it really is believable. And mm-hmm. you know, there's times when like Belle gets upset with young Scrooge and basically walks out of the park and says, "I don't want to," you know. Well, I won't ruin it, but well, we all know the story. But you know, you've ruined my life, you know. And you hear her walking, and she walks right off the side of the stereo, you know, thing. She goes from the left to the right ear, and she's gone, you know. But there's little subtle things like you can do like that. I noticed that the guy that does the stuff that you've been in the Star Wars drama,
mm-hmm.
In the Shadows, he does a lot of really great stereo work.
Danny.
Yeah, Danny. Mm-hmm. Danny Pepe, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I said his last name right. That's a great audio drama, but he engineers it very similar to what I do. I think he's just got a wonderful podcast going on there with that. That's a great story and good stuff, but I really appreciate his engineering skills. If you've done it right, if you do a drama like that right, like you've done Boldly, Star Trek Boldly, and you do it such a great job with that, if you do it right, people listen to it and they don't even realize how awesome it is. If you do it bad, we've all heard bad audio.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh, gosh, that was really poor.
Mm-hmm.
So my goal is to try and make it just like you were watching a movie and the theater of the mind. I had my friend Marco email me last night and said, dude, part two of the Scrooge Diaries, that was like theater of the mind. That was so awesome. And that's exactly what I'm trying to do is create these images that people can imagine while they're driving or jogging or exercising or walking or going to bed at night, and they put their earphones in, you know, I want them to just get lost into a whole other world. And of course, you know, the whole reason I do this is to bring a message of hope to people and to, you know, get people to really rethink kind of the way they think about traditional things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my goal. That's my goal behind all of my stuff, is to just bring a real positive hope to people's lives, because I think we live in a real negative world.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a pretty good segue. Do you want to talk a little bit about Take Him With You?
Sure. Sure. Take Him With You is, you know, I don't know if most people know this, but for many, many years, I was a pastor in a church, and did a youth pastoring for about 8 years, and then did the adult congregation for 2 or 3. And I resigned my position at the church because, well, number one, I felt like, and no, I hope that people listening know that I'm not trying to be negative, but, you know, sometimes church can be kind of, and it's supposed to be a real nice place where you can feel safe and hear something cool. But quite honestly, sometimes church can be a downer, and it can be really judgmental and mean and nasty. And that's not how it's supposed to be. I don't think. I don't read that in my Bible. And so what I did is I branched out, and I thought, you know what, there's got to be people out there that would love to hear a spiritual message without having all the dogma attached to it. Without having the, well, you have to be in church every Sunday and you have to sign up for the roles and you need to do this and you need to do that and all this jazz. I thought, wouldn't it be fun to bring a message of hope as a normal human being, a geek that I am, that I love science fiction and I love drama and I love music and all this different stuff. Isn't there a way to bring a message of hope to people without shoving it down their throat?
Mm-hmm.
And there is. And that's what I designed Take Him With You. At first, I was looking for the URL churchthatdoesn'tsuck.com. But we thought that might be too negative. I remember asking you, what do you think of this and this? And you're like, you were trying to be nice. I tried to get geekchurch.com and all these other things. And then I decided I'm not going to put the name church in anything, because instantly people get turned off for whatever experiences they've had, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided, well, what is the whole idea behind podcasting? Well, it's where you can download something and take it with you. And instantly I went, ah, that's it. So I remember sitting around the house talking with everybody in the living room, and we had to decide what URL we were going to register for this. And we came up with the whole idea of Take Him With You. And the whole idea is you can download in the privacy of your earphones. You can download a message that is spiritual, entertaining, comforting, creative, and geeky, but at the same time life-giving. And you don't have to – I know this sounds weird, but you don't have to announce it to the world. Nobody knows you're listening to it. And I think a lot of times people won't even set foot in church because they don't want people to see them, or they got a beef against church or whatever. And all of a sudden, within a month, we went from, you know, 12 listeners to 200. And then all of a sudden it started growing, and now we have, you know, we have like close to 13,000 hits on the website every month, thousands of programs. We had one program in 4 days, just the last week, a program that Amy and I did called You're a Cool Chick, where I talked about how I met my wife, and that got downloaded 2,100 times in 4 days.
Wow.
Wow. So there's, you know, there's a place out there for something that people could listen to and kind of get their spiritual needs met, or at least that spiritual side. Because I really firmly believe that every person is spiritual, even if they claim not to be. I think we were made that way. And there's something inside of us that wants to know more about our spiritual aspect. And I'm hoping that that people will listen to the program and get that answer. Now, I make no bones about it. I am a Christian. I do believe in Christ, and I have given my heart to Him. But I think people would be surprised if they listen that I'm not mean about it. And in fact, if anything, I don't rank on any other religions. I don't say to people that they're wrong or this or that. I simply talk about what God has done in my own personal life. And as a result of that, I think the show is not very threatening, but very informative.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully entertaining. I get lots and lots of people that listen that don't necessarily ever go to church or haven't ever gone to church, but they absolutely dig the podcast. And they're learning so much about God and about their faith and where they're at in life. And just, I can't tell you the amount of emails I get about it. It's just fantastic. It's so much fun. You know, I'm not trying, I am totally just out front. I'm just living my life like I do. And taking a risk and trying to make a living doing it. And, you know, it's not the easiest thing in the world, but it sure is a blast to be able to be creative and make songs and dramas and hook up with cool people like you and Angela and others. It's just a blast.
Well, that's awesome. I listened to it, and all the things you said are spot on. It's just a show that is entertaining. You get to hear your reviews on movies you've seen or television shows or, you know, what new geeky gadget you got. And
you should have seen the amount of people that dug our Andrew and I went to go see District 9.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't usually go to movies that have, you know, hundreds of F words in them. F bombs. I just have a pet peeve. F bombs just bug me.
Yeah,
and
me
it's
too.
not because I'm trying to be a prude or anything. It just, I don't know. It's just kind of like, gosh, guys, write a better dialogue. Does everybody talk like that? I don't think so. You know, I know there's some people that talk like that, but gosh, you know, the main actor in the show. Anyway, I don't usually do that, but I had several people, I kind of talked about that. I said, I don't really want to go see it because I've heard it's got a lot of F-bombs in it. I had a few people convince me that listen to the podcast. You should go. It's a very, very interesting concept. So I did a review of it with Andrew. We talked about it on the show, and that was downloaded massive. I was so surprised at the amount of people. They wanted to hear my take on it, and I had to not be all religious and stuffy and say, I will expose myself to this horrible word, you know, and I decided, you know what, I'll just go. And I want to see what it's all about. And I'm glad I went. I wouldn't probably buy the DVD or own it just because I wouldn't want friends coming over and hearing the F-bomb, you know, 120 sometimes. But that's like one every minute of the movie. Go figure. But the concept of the movie and the reason they used that, I completely understood. And by the time I was done, I was sick to my – it wasn't a popcorn movie. You didn't want to eat popcorn when you watched it. But so many people were interested in hearing my perspective on that, that show was downloaded quite a bit. So, yeah, it's really interesting to you know, get out of the boundaries of the four walls of a church and start actually talking mm-hmm. about what life is all about. It's fascinating to people, and a lot of people really like it.
There was another podcast, the episode that you did about creativity that I liked as well, that talked about, you know, not being afraid to do something creative, to challenge yourself and to put yourself out there and just do it and not worry about what other people think. Just feeling, like I said earlier, liberated, you know, in your ability to try something like you did when you put out your CD. You know, and that I thought was a very helpful episode because I am a person who would like to one day become a novelist. And and you get so down on yourself sometimes, like, okay, this is a pile of crap, and you just stop writing. And then you know, that you need kind of encouragement, and that's what your podcast offers, is encouragement. And in addition to the background that you give on spirituality and stuff, but that episode encouraged me to do the NaNoWriMo thing, which...
Oh, fantastic. That's so great to hear.
Yeah, I did. I didn't make it because I became pregnant at the start, and I got very tired.
Well,
I was falling asleep.
That's not a bad thing.
So I can blame it on that, at least, that I...
There you go. There you go.
Stay up.
Well, that's the goal. I think if you really... If you listen to the... I've done 40... Well, it'll be 47 programs coming up on Sunday. And then, of course, I do a midweek booster and stuff and put out special things every once in a while. But I think if you listen to the general theme through the podcast, I try to encourage people to be who they were created to be. And you, it can be completely different. Like, you're a writer. I like to write, but I'm not necessarily love it like you do. I like to make music, you know, or do goofy, you know, audio dramas and stuff. That's what I love to do. You, on the other hand, really like to, you know, write. You can write so much, and you're so much more gifted at that. But see, everybody has something that they're good at, or they could be good at if they would believe in the call in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I try to do. If you listen, and you have, as you listen through the podcast, that's my main emphasis. Be who you were created to be. And then I try to throw in little ideas to help with attitude and direction and getting out of your comfort zone. Because you know what? People that don't risk never really succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, the hardest thing for a human being to do is to risk. It's scary. We like to be comfortable. But you know what? There's not enough time in our lives to mess around. We need to really get with it. And you can have a lot of fun while you're going forward. But it's just no fun. Who wants to just live their life, you know, watch TV, eat food, and then die? I don't know anybody that does. I think there's way more to life than that. And I think every person is gifted. They have something they can offer. And with the internet, oh my gosh, you can reach an entire world with the talents and gifts that you have. And boy, why not? You know, so that's why I really encourage on the program. I encourage people to find out what you're good at and concentrate on it and really develop. Don't get hung up so much on the things you don't do well, because all of us do that and it holds us back. But if we can, you know, be creative and get those juices flowing, man, there's, you can do so much nowadays that you could have never done even 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what my emphasis on the podcast is to go forward, you know, have a good attitude, work on your life and go forward, because there's lots of great stuff ahead.
Well, I asked on Twitter for audio comments.
Yeah.
And it was kind of short notice because I just asked you to do this interview on Monday and here it is Saturday. And so, you know, I don't know that a lot of people got the word, but I did get one from Meds. And
cool.
So if we could play that, I emailed it to you. So if you want to,
cool.
I don't know if you can download it and play it on so that I could record it at the same time, but that would be cool to hear your reaction to it. I thought
I can.
Yeah. I thought his comments were very, very nice.
All right, let me see. There it is, MP3. I'm just checking my email. Checking my email. Remember Strong Bad? Have you ever seen that?
Oh, my gosh. Angela quotes that guy all the time. Cheerleader!
The ugly one!
The ugly one! She does a really good job of imitating.
Checking my email. I'm a Strong Bad. Yes. I used to watch his stuff all the time. Do you want me to, play it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, here we go.
Hi Jen, and hi Rick. This is Meds from Waffle On Podcast, and of course your friend on the forums. I just wanted to take this opportunity, as you've been interviewed, Rick, just to say a few things. Your Stargazer CD is absolutely brilliant. It really is a nice, chill out, relaxing album of really cool music, and I was really quite pleased that you offered a free CD for a competition on Waffle On, which we did, and was won by Coachman, another friend on the forums. And I actually packaged that off today, so it's another CD destined for Europe. And I'm also very proud to have been in two of your audio dramas. The first one was Beaten to a Pulp, which came out in Easter. And I was really quite pleased that you asked me to do that. And when I heard you was going to be doing the Christmas Carol, I remember putting my name forward to you, sending an email saying, look, if there's anything for me to do, then please just let me know if it's a small part, a big part or anything. And I was absolutely chuffed that you offered me the role of Bob Cratchit, and I sincerely hope I've done you proud. You're a great guy, Rick. You're kind and generous, but your professionalism in production and artistic things is just second to none. I've always been amazed by your music, but the fact that your audio dramas are extremely good, extremely well produced, from a writer and an actor point of view, it's always a pleasure to be able to work with people who are extremely professional. I tend to be slightly drifting away from acting now, although I do keep my foot in the door with it. I'm concentrating while I'm writing, and I know me and Jen had a conversation not long ago when it comes to our own productions that if you asked us to act in anything, we'd both of us drop what we were doing and jump straight in and work for you. And it's purely for the fact that not only are you a great guy, but it's always a pleasure to work with such a professional. I hope you do more audio dramas, because they are fantastic. And if you do, please do think of me, because I will immediately say yes. Anyway, can't wait to listen to the interview and keep up the good work. You're a great guy. Cheers. Meds out.
Thank you, Meds, for sending that. That was very sweet.
That was very, very kind. My goodness. Gosh. How nice. Thank you. That's very, very cool. And, you know, my my opinion of Meds is quite high. I really appreciate him. I've been really enjoying getting to know him. And that was very kind of him. You have a dream sometimes. Well, you know what it's like, Jen. You dream about the things you want to do, and you hope that they bless people, and you hope that people enjoy working with you. So it's just very awesome to have feedback like that, because it helps you to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So very much appreciated, Meds. Thank you. That was very, very kind. Very cool.
Okay, now what?
Now what? What are we doing now? We can do Yoda impressions.
Oh, I know. I did want to give away the CD.
Oh, good.
But I can't think of a contest. So maybe you and I could put our heads together.
All right, let me think. Something anomaly-ish.
It could be related to your Christmas CD.
We could do that.
Maybe they have to sing a line from...
Money's not the only thing in life.
Or anything Christmas related. Like maybe it's one of the Trekmas CD songs or your Money, Money, Money song.
I have an idea. How about this? How about if they answer, who told Scrooge when he was very young that when he was 75, he had to have everybody be the ones that paid? Yeah,
that's a good one. All right.
Or let me see. What else could we do? What was the name of the band that plays the anomaly theme?
Oh, that, yeah. Could do that.
That'd be cool. I don't know. I don't know.
I think it should be related to this conversation.
Okay, all right.
So that way, because we're giving away a Stargazer CD, so...
Okay.
It'll be like a pop quiz to see if they were listening.
Yeah. How about a multiple choice? Let me see. Rick's intention for the Stargazer CD was A, to start a revolution, B, to make fun of Yoda, C, to create atmospheric music to watch stars with, or D, to impress NASA. What do you think?
Okay.
And then they could send it in, and then you could pick between all that got it right, and you pick one out of the hat, and they're the ones that win the CD.
All righty.
But those are really stupid.
Or it could be A, to earn a lot of money and buy a big limo.
There you go.
That he could pimp out.
That's right.
With yeah. With your, and yeah.
Well, so my name is Ricky M.
So you could play your rap music through the custom speakers.
Ricky Moy Moy.
Yeah. And what was mine? I can't even remember what you gave me.
I can't remember. It was anomalous something. What was it? Anomalies or something like that. There was something. We combined it with one of yours.
Oh, J-Ro. That was what my...
You know, on Facebook, you really got to get a Facebook. I did that same thing, and I had 100 comments on the heavy metal. I did heavy metal bands all day that day. So funny. One guy owns a sanitation company and does the porta potties. So I named his band Sanitary Solution. Oh, that was funny.
That's funny. I did have a band on Rock Band, the Xbox game. Yeah. We were Scum and Villainy. And yeah. Xbox warned me that it was it could be blocked by Xbox Live for being inappropriate.
Scum and Villainy?
Yeah.
Come on,
I know.
Star Wars, give me a break.
It's like, obviously, those people aren't with it.
No, I was just thinking you could have a band. This is not the band you're listening to. That would be awesome. Droids Not Welcome. That'd be a great name for a band, wouldn't it?
Hey, yeah, a geeky band name.
Droids Not Geeky band names. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. That'll be it. So right. I'll just act like this was like all that stuff would be like a background for like transition.
Okay, we're ready.
All right. So
strike. Take two.
As you heard in our last podcast episode, Angela and I have a Stargazer CD to give away, and we couldn't come up with a contest idea that was good enough on our own. So Rick and I have put our heads together and come up with a pretty good idea. So, and it's pretty fun. And you can either send me the answer to this question through email, like you just type it out and send it to me, or you could call our voicemail line, which is pretty easy. All you have to do is go to our website, to the contact page, or to the blog, and there's a widget in both of those places that you can click on and type in your phone number, and our voicemail number will call you back. That way it's free if you're on a landline.
I'll have my people call your people.
Yeah. So, Rick, what do you think about this for a
Okay, here we go.
Because we have quite a few ideas, but I think this one's pretty... I liked this one. It's the best. Rick on Twitter came up with a bunch of, like, rap names for all of us.
And I was bestowing rap names on one day and heavy metal name, band names the next day.
So, yeah, he gave me a name, and it was Anomalies. And because I told him I wanted a name that was just like one name, like Madonna. And yours was Ricky Moy Moy.
That's right. Can't remember who I did. What was it? Geekster or something like that?
Yeah, Geeksta.
Geeksta.
Yeah.
Kenny, I think Kenny was like something Geeksta.
Uh-huh. So your challenge is to come up with a geek band name. Now, it could be a rap star. It could be a heavy metal band, but it has to be in some way geeky. And send it either to girlygeeks@gmail.com, girlygeeks with a Z @gmail.com, or go to our website contact page, use the widget there, like I mentioned earlier, and call it in. Tell us what you give us your ideas.
Geeky band name, right?
Geeky band name, rock band. It could be a country band. It could be just a rap star name, but it has to be geeky in some way.
So I came up with one. So since I can't be in the contest, I already have a Stargazer CD. Mine was Droids Not Welcome. remember the guy behind the bar in Star Wars? Hey, those guys aren't welcome here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like, oh, no. Yeah, it's like – and let's talk about that for just one moment. Okay. If you had droids that who was looking for them?
The Empire.
The Empire. Okay. If the Empire is looking for your droids and you just use the Force to say these aren't the droids you're looking for and you fooled the white stormtrooper guys and they go, move along, and you go to a bar, you take them into the bar, but the bartender says you can't have them here. What would possess you to have them turn around and wait at the land speeder that you just drove past the guys that you fooled? Don't you think they might find the droids?
Good point.
I just thought about that the other day. I've seen Star Wars a billion times and it just dawned on me.
Well, so maybe they have like a car alarm set up on the speeder and they would hear it.
Maybe we missed the scene where Obi-Wan waved his hand over them and they looked like trash cans. Look at those trash cans by that land speeder. They look familiar. No, these aren't the trash cans you're looking for.
That's another band name you could do.
Move along.
Ooh, I like that too. Move along.
Move along.
All right. Well, thank you, Rick, for taking the time to be a part of my anomaly special interview.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. People can come over and join my Facebook. I have so much fun on Facebook. It's facebook.com/rick.moyer. Join on up or go to takehimwithyou.com.
Definitely. Yeah, we hang out together quite a bit, don't we, online. We're on the Treks and Sci-Fi forum. And now that Anomaly has a forum, you could come hang with Rick and me, Angela and Meds. We're all on there with, you know, several other people that are listeners. So.
And Twitter.
Yeah. So listen to the end of the podcast to the credits and it'll tell you how to find the forum. But
sweet.
Yeah, on Twitter, your Twitter name is @Moyer777.
That is correct.
And mine is @Sevryll, S-E-V-R-Y-L-L.
Or as you say when you can't pronounce it, Sevryll.
Sevryll, that's right.
Sevryll. It's Sevryll. It's Sevryll.
Sevryll. With a capital S. Don't forget, it's a capital S.
Capital S. Sevryll.
Maybe that could be my rap name.
That's it. Yo, Sevryll.
All right. Well, I'm Jen. And that guy right there is Rick.
I'm sorry. Am I supposed to say something? I'm sorry. I'm Rick.
I'm Jen.
And I'm Rick.
And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge.
Sorry, I really like your theme song.
Podcasting is hard work. Know what makes it worthwhile? Your emails, voicemails, blog comments, and iTunes ratings. Show us you want more Anomaly by giving us a little hug in the form of feedback. It just takes a few minutes of your time, while recording and editing can take hours, days, weeks, and sometimes months, depending on whether we have to re-record. So give us a little nudge of encouragement. Let us know you're listening. Anomaly is a monthly podcast. To stay up to date with show-related news and scheduling, please join the Anomaly forums. You can find a link on our website, or you can go there directly at anomalypodcast.freeforums.org. And while you're at it, subscribe to the Anomaly blog. There, a team of talented writers keep our listeners entertained and informed with articles related to games, books, movies, and general geeky observations in between our Anomaly episodes. Find a link to our blog and other useful bits of information on the Anomaly Podcast website. That's anomalypodcast.com. Call our Google voicemail line. It's free to anyone calling from a continental U.S. landline using the widgets on our blog and website. Anomaly is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 license.
Hi, this is Rick Moyer, and I've got a brand new CD out to watch the stars with. It's called Stargazer. Take a listen to some of the songs.
3, 2, 1, 0. Launch commit. Liftoff. We have liftoff with Apollo 14. 3 minutes past the hour.
Purchase this 13-track CD or download it at takehimwithyou.com/stargazer. Stargazer, a collection of songs to watch the stars with. Get your copy today.
Knights of the Old Republic, Jedi Knight, New Jedi Order, Legacy of the Force, Mara Jade and Kyle Katarn. What do all these works and characters have in common? Well, they're all from the expanded universe of the ever-growing Star Wars galaxy. Where can you find more information on the EU? On EUcast, the official podcast of EUCantina.net, of course. Join and listen to Andrew, Austin, and Lawrence each week as they bring you insight on the expanded universe, from news and discussion to debates over recent works and interesting characters. What's there to lose? To listen, simply go to www.EUCantina.net/EUcast. Listen or listen not. There is no try.
Good evening, sci-fi fans. When you're not listening to the Anomaly podcast with those gorgeous girly geeks, Jen and Angela... Oh, Jen, your accent. I love it so much. When you're not listening to the Anomaly podcast, then I'd be honoured if you could take a few minutes to check out my little show, Appy Times. If you have an iPod Touch or an iPhone, if you love your applications but are feeling the pinch of the current economic climate, then this is the podcast for you. Each week, I'll review a free or cheap application and spend a few minutes gassing on about why I like it, or not. Buying apps over the air can be addictive and expensive, so why not spend a few minutes a week listening to Appy Times, and I'll try to separate the wheat from the chaff. Just go to appytimes.podbean.com. or search the iTunes store for Appy Times. That's APPYTIMES. Come and share Appy Times with me.
Hi, I'm Rick Moyer, and I want to tell you about my brand new podcast. It's called Take Him With You. Every week I talk about what's going on in my geeky little world of television, music, and in my faith. My hope is that in a world that can sometimes be really depressing, for that at least a few moments, you can be encouraged and smile a bit. So come check it out, www.takehimwithyou.com. the weekly podcast that's spiritual, not religious. I'd love to have you listen. Thanks.
Once you've finished listening to the excellent Anomaly podcast with Jen and Angela, why don't you pop over to our podcast? We're called Waffle On. And every few weeks, we'll be discussing a classic television show broadcast on British TV between 1960 and 1990. We'll be talking about British-made, US-made, and Australian-made shows. So come waffle on with us at http://waffleon.podbean.com. Or simply head to iTunes and type in Waffle On. We'd be honoured if you'd join us.
Greetings, Guildies. I'm Kenny.
And I'm Jenny.
When you're not listening to the Anomaly podcast, why don't you listen to Knights of the Guild, the official fan podcast for the web series The Guild?
Each month, we'll bring you the latest news about the Guild cast, including what projects they're working on and what conventions they'll be attending.
Also, we'll be updating you on the current season.
We'll talk about some behind-the-scenes fun of Season 2.
As well as having cast, crew, and fan interviews.
So head over to iTunes and subscribe to Knights of the Guild.
Or go to our website for a direct download at knightsoftheguild.podbean.com. Zaboo!
Yes, yes, yes. This is DJ Buzzy Buzz. Now, if you like your London beats and you like your urban hits, man, and you like your R&B and your American R&B, then really please piss off, because this show has got nothing for you.
We're going to deep fry on Here Goes Nothing live a Mars bar.
You know, you know when you're kind of 14 and you're getting your first bottles of cider?
No. I was 18 before I drank anything.
Serious?
No. So, okay, well, coriander grows in the garden, so go out to get the coriander. Dogs have eaten it. All of it, gone. But Guinness have just released this Guinness Red.
Oh my goodness, threw it down the toilet.
Have you tried it?
Nope.
Here Goes Nothing, the show called Nothing that has a bit of everything. We've even got a Geordie Lake. So visit the site at heregoesnothing.podbean.com. Or find us on iTunes.